Well, good morning. I was on pain pills up through yesterday, so I'm not at all sure how this is going to go, but we'll give it a try. Well, this is the beginning of the month. This is September, and we are focusing this month on prayer, partly because of the World Day of Prayer that always happens, partly because I think it's one of those topics that we always seem to go back to, wanting, I think, most of us wanting to know how to better do that, how to be effective with our prayer. So we're doing that. Prayer is foundational to unity. It was started, you know, we're doing this background of New Thought class that's going on, and prayer, affirmative prayer, came out of all of this. So healing was one of the first things that we noticed as we call ourselves unity. Myrtle used this affirmative prayer to heal herself, to be healed, cured of tuberculosis. And then her husband Charles, you know, also used affirmative prayer to restore a leg that had been withered from a childhood accident. So this prayer is the very beginning of us. It is core to who we are and what we do. I keep losing my mind. Sorry. Okay. We talk a lot about the still small voice. Who has heard that? Oh, good. Most of us. Yeah. This still small voice, Charles Fillmore talks about it a lot. Jesus uses the notion of peace be still, you know, to quiet ourselves. And then Charles talks about this still small voice. So that's kind of a beginning point for us too. Charles in Revealing Word says this still small voice, as he defines it, he says, it's the voice of spirit speaking within the depths of one's being. It's not audible. It comes from within us as spiritual knowing. I've only had it happen once where it was like a prophet. I knew, you know, I just knew it was done. Sometimes it comes through as a strong urge, you know, strong desire. This still small voice speaks to us. And we get to choose whether we listen to it or not. We can ignore it if we wanted to, but it works out so much better if we do listen. When we talk about having heard it, has anybody ever been confused whether is this a still small voice or is this another voice? Yes, I see some. Yes, yeah. I had a classmate, beloved classmate, who in ministerial school, who talked about the committee that he had in his head. You know, it wasn't just one or two voices, it was seemed like a whole committee. So sometimes we might want to listen to the still small voice, but are we sure that that's who it is or that's what it is? Because you're here today, I believe that you want to hear this still small voice, that you want a deeper, stronger relationship with the Creator. I don't think you'd be here if that wasn't the case. So we are going to be talking today and this month about what I'm calling what am I calling it? Bless you, bless you, bless you. The inner voice, this inner voice. And I think we really want to know this for ourselves more deeply and know when we can discern this is our inner voice. So we're going to talk about the inner voice and this listening that we do. When we do it, I think our lives are so much more satisfying. They're so much more fulfilled. We get much more joy, than when we're not listening. So as we think about prayer, this whole month of prayer, as we think about this inner voice, this peace be still, this be still and know, as we think about this inner voice, today what we're going to focus on is discerning those voices. Who and what are we hearing? We're going to be talking about steps to listening, and finally then about who we have come here to be as sort of a springboard then into next week, how we can learn how to do this more deeply. So let's talk about voices. There is an inner voice that we're talking about, and then there's what I would call a false voice. Might want to refer to that as ego. The inner voice is the one we want to listen to, but we may not always know, is this it? There are some things that we can use, though, to determine, is this my inner voice? What would that inner voice, in a general sense, be? The inner voice is our Christ voice. It is the higher self of us. So, of course, we want to hear that. So some measurements that you can use to determine, is this my inner voice? One of those measurements is, when this inner voice is speaking, is it peaceful? If it's not the inner voice, you know, if it's all crazy and forceful and confrontational, probably not the inner voice. The inner voice is always going to be peaceful. The inner voice is always going to be a source of joy. So even if this inner voice is encouraging us to step up and do something that we maybe, oh, really, you want me to do that? You know, it still provides a sense of joy. One of the times that happened for me was, or at least excitement, was when I kept getting a push to go to college at night. I was married with 3 kids at home, working full time, and I had this strong desire to go back to school. It didn't make sense from an intellectual standpoint necessarily, because it wasn't going to do anything to my career. Just particularly because I was majoring in psychology and I was in the IT department. So it wasn't about career advancement, it was about my wanting to know more and to get that degree. Turned out later that it was very useful, because I needed to have a degree to go on into ministerial school, but that was way before any of that thought came up. So even though it was a bit challenging, this inner voice saying do this, challenging in terms of balancing life, you know, making sure that I could still get everything done, there was a joy when I thought about obtaining what I wanted, which was a degree. The inner voice is going to be peaceful, and it's going to be joyful, or at least some joy applied to it. Abundant energy and vitality. When this inner voice is speaking, it's going to be a very vibrant kind of voice. Go on, you can do this. It'll be positive. It'll be exciting, or at least energizing. You know? And then when you're listening to the inner voice, you often notice that there are helps. You're kind of supported by maybe invisible hands, if you will. I've told you the story about how when I was coming here for my first interview with the board, and I asked the question to the universe, is this mine to do? And my attention was drawn, if you remember, to the sign on the side of the road that said, Wright City. So, true. So there are these invisible hands that when you're listening to that inner voice, the invisible hands, the universe is conspiring to make this desire come true. That's the inner voice. What about the false voice? What would it sound like if you were listening to that, or ego? Well, several things. One is if there's some anxiety, just that feeling of, I don't know about this. Maybe this is the road. I don't know. I'm afraid if I go down. Any of that kind of anxiety might well be the false voice, might well be ego that's chattering. If there's some judgment that you're hearing in all of this, in what's being said, judgment, maybe comparing, oh, you can't do that, you know, why are you even thinking about doing that? So-and-so tried that, it didn't work. Or if you do this, you'll be better than so-and-so. Judgment, comparison, all of those kinds of things, that is the sign of the false ego. That's not your inner voice. Anybody ever had anything that sounded like that? I see some. Me too. Confusion. Most of the time when I've had that knowing, it has been like razor clear. It's like, this is mine to do. And there wasn't confusion. If there's confusion, it might be the ego speaking. When there is fear present, that's almost always an indication that it is the ego, the false voice, that it is not the inner voice. The ego wants us to maintain the status quo. And so if you're beginning to contemplate something, beginning to step out in a new direction, the ego is going to go, whoa, boy, this is pretty dangerous. You may not want to do this. Step back. So if there's any fear that's present, it's probably ego, probably false voice. And then the last thing that I put down here for recognizing this false voice is the word should. If what you're saying to yourself has anything to do with, I should do this, that's not your inner voice. That is the false voice. That's ego. Should is setting us up. Even if it is a worthwhile thing, we're not coming into it with the frame of mind from a Christ self. We're coming at it from a whole different place, an ego place. So if you're saying should, then it is not your inner voice. So we want to be closer. We want to be better at prayer. We want to realize that prayer isn't to some, you know, some outer something or other, but that inner voice, that's really what we link to. We want to get better at that. We want to recognize that inner voice better, more easily, more quickly. And we want to know when it's ego that's trying to talk. So then assuming that, okay, now I've got it. I now am aware that this is my inner voice. Now what do? If you want to listen to it, there are steps to being able to listen to this inner voice, only three. The first one is ask for guidance. When we think about going through our days, we go through our days, we can either act like we know everything that we need to know and do all this on our own, or we can go through them and think that we know pretty much about what's going on, but we always could use more help, and enlist this inner self, this higher self, enlist this Christ in every decision that we make. We are always talking here, teaching that God and I are one. And so if that's true, why not bring to bear this power in everything that we do? So it behooves us then, if we're going to listen to the inner voice, that we engage it by asking for guidance. Is this mine to do? Is this work mine to do? Right city, you know. So first you want to ask for guidance. The second step is get quiet and listen. Does anybody else have a brain that once you kind of start out with something, then the brain starts going just chattering like crazy? Mine does sometimes. It'll be, well, you can do this, you can plan this. It wants to get going doing things. It wants to be productive and all of that ego stuff that goes along with that. So once you've asked for guidance, the second step is to be still and listen. It's easily said, it's not easily done always. But what we can do is take time in meditation to be still and listen. And we can do that. You know how we're always talking about be aware of your breath? That breathing is one way to occupy your mind, to occupy that ego, just to keep it busy with noticing the breath going in and out. And then that allows us to be more settled, more quiet, to be open, to be receptive, to listen more easily. We ask, we listen, and then the third step in following this inner voice is to act upon what you hear. You can get all the guidance in the world, but if you don't act upon it, you're not going to realize that desire for fulfillment, that satisfaction that comes from being aligned and living at one with our higher selves. We won't realize that nearly as quickly and as effectively if we don't act upon what we hear. Sometimes it's easy to do that, to act upon what we hear. Sometimes it takes a little more courage. I'm sure you can think of times and things that you've had come up for you, and it might have been easier to just ignore the voice. Going to school at night with being married and having a full-time job and having children wasn't easy necessarily. You know, it took a lot of cooperation with them. It took extra effort. It took a lot of discipline to make myself steady. So it wasn't necessarily easy to act upon that guidance, but it was so satisfying. It was exactly what I wanted to do. Had I not, I would have been, had more time with my family, I would have done family thing. You know, it just would have been a whole different thing if I had ignored that. But would I have experienced the same fulfillment, the same satisfaction? Would I have created the foundation for going on into ministry? At least not at that time, I wouldn't. So we get to choose, and it's very important once you ask, once you listen, then to go ahead and act upon what you hear. Pretty simple. Those are the steps to take if we want to better our ability to listen to the inner voice. The last part of this is today is just, you know, it's about raising an awareness of who and what this inner voice is. How do I listen? How do I get better? The whole point then is matching up this inner voice and its direction with who we have come here to be. Our inner voice, if you think about this for just a moment, our inner voice is who we really are. We really are Christ in expression. We really are spiritual beings having a human experience. So as much as we allow ourselves to be that inner voice, to live through that inner voice in connection with that inner voice, we are living who we have come here to be. If we don't do that, if we listen to the false voice, what we end up doing, and it's not a bad thing, but we end up being who we think we should be. And sometimes who we think we should be is determined by a job, a boss, might be determined by a spouse, it might be determined by, who knows? You know, I need to have this size of house. I need to have this kind of car. I need to fill in the blank. Those aren't bad things. But we won't realize the depth of what prayer can do and be if we are listening to that false voice. So, prayer, we're going to be talking a lot about that this month. We are not talking necessarily about some outside entity that listens and picks and chooses which entreaty to listen to. We are talking about prayer as an inner voice. We are talking about how to tune into that inner voice and listen, to choose and know which voice is the Christ in us, and then what to do once we've recognized it. And to determine that we are going to and want to live as best we can for who we have come here to be. Next week, we're going to take this just a little further as we talk about the inner voice and choosing how to express. So we have come here to be Christ in expression. Next week, we'll talk more about that. Let's take a few moments, as we always do, to connect, to be at one with our Creator, with God. So we might start by gently closing our outer eyes and allow yourself to become comfortable in your seats. Consciously relax. Let your body sink into the seat. Let it be completely supported. Feel any and all tension or discomfort, busyness melt away. Know that this place is a safe place. Know that we are in the midst of spiritual family. We are here connected. Connected at least by the awareness that we are all children of the Most High. We are all one in this Christ. And knowing that our minds like to begin to chatter, let's focus our attention just on the breathing, on the breath, noticing how our bodies feel as we bring that breath in and release. We notice our chest expanding, how our clothing fits. We're aware then as we exhale, maybe our shoulders are dropping. We notice that we relax more. And so we keep our attention there, just breathing in and breathing out deeply and slowly. Another part of us, a part that I call the observer, notices the brain, the mind, watching the breath, notices the openness, the stillness. We are receptive, willing, open. We intend that our inner voice is allowed to be strong and clear. We are so grateful for the awareness of our oneness with our Creator. Grateful for the presence, the never-ending presence of that divine part of us. And here and today, we allow that we are willing to be listening for this inner voice, that we are receptive to it, that we are willing to act upon what guidance we receive. We acknowledge that there is no one else that can do and be and have the unique combination of all that that we are. No one else can be the unique expression of the Christ. No one can contribute what you can contribute to this world. And so, as we always do, we take a few moments now in silence, as we are open, as we are receptive, as we listen to that inner voice in the silence. We always live in the present moment. And in this present moment, we are aware of that joy and peace and love that abide in us. We are aware that we can express those qualities as we choose. We are aware of the gentleness of this inner voice, this connection, this divine being that lives through us. And we are grateful. We are grateful that we have the opportunity to live fully, completely. We are grateful that we can be fulfilled and satisfied by expressing this higher self, this inner voice. We are grateful that we are willing to be Christ in expression. And in our joy, in our peace, in our love, and in our gratitude, we come together once again to affirm the words that Jesus Christ taught us as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.